Tech is all around us. It's always updating, competing for your attention. Cut through the digital clutter with the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing, the biggest tech stories and scoops from our reporting every weekday.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, January 31st. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. Think of the U.S. economy as an engine. The fuel that keeps that engine humming is the spending power of consumers. For several years, whether it be amid the pandemic or rising inflation, the U.S. economic engine was cruising along in the fast lane. But now, even in a strong labor market, consumers are starting to hit the brakes.
I think people are just starting to feel kind of stressed about the future and stressed about where they are. We've seen a lot of inflation in essentials like households, groceries, and utility bills, and it's just a lot for people to be dealing with.
Coming up, we'll talk to Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey about the stark turnaround in consumer sentiment and what that means in the months ahead for the economy. That's after the break.
I'm Danny Lewis.
And I'm Alex Osola. On the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast, we explore the projects reimagining the world of tomorrow.
Like using sound to rejuvenate coral reefs.
Moving microchips beyond silicon.
Silicon is no longer energy efficient.
And how animals are helping treat human diseases. The future of everything is happening right now.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The consumer is often called the engine of the U.S. economy, but recently that engine has begun to sputter as Americans pull back on spending and overall consumer sentiment has turned sour. Does that put the economy on a certain path toward recession? Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey joins me to discuss. Hey, Harriet, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi.
So, Harriet, how important is the consumer to the U.S. economy?
The consumer is hugely important. Consumer spending makes up about 2/3 of the U.S. economy. And consumer spending, especially on services, that is really the driving force behind a lot of U.S. economic activity. So when consumers pull back, it has enormous repercussions for the economy as a whole.
Now, no doubt inflation has played a part in cutting into consumer spending power. But through most of 2022, when inflation was even higher than it is now, consumer spending growth exceeded price increases by as much as 2 percentage points. So what's causing them now to pull back on spending?
I think a lot of things have just kind of coalesced at once. You know, we did see a lot of inflation in 2022, especially around the summer. Of course, that inflation was also being driven by the fact that there was strong demand for services and things like that, stuff that consumers wanted to get out and do after being in pandemic lockdowns for 2 years, 2.5 years. So really, I think what we're seeing now is just things are really catching up to consumers in a lot of ways. You know, inflation is still high. We have seen that inflation has cooled since the summer of last year, but it's not like things are going into reverse. You know, prices are still going up. They're just going up a little bit more slowly than they were before. And people are feeling the pinch. You know, their debt is getting more expensive as well. If you have a balance on your credit card, you know, that's getting more expensive every month. Your payments, you know, are becoming more expensive to service. Of course, the housing market is in a big slump because of high mortgage rates, high borrowing costs. And the thing that's happening now is that people have really run down the savings that they built up during the pandemic. This was a big buffer to a lot of households, especially lower income households. And those savings really helped to fuel consumer spending throughout 2022. I mean, I think for longer than a lot of economists were expecting. But people are feeling tapped out. And then, of course, the other big thing that's happening right now is we're just seeing more and more announcements of layoffs at big companies, you know, tech companies. And of course, that type of news does worry people because for most Americans, their main source of income and the way that they fund their spending is, of course, through their job and their salary. And if they're worried that they're going to lose their job and lose their salary, that will impact their spending behavior.
So what does that look like day to day for consumers who not that long ago had no problem spending and were fueling the economy forward?
Well, talking to consumers, you know, I think we see a wide variety of things. But I think one thing that a lot of the people in our story had in common is that they just feel poorer. You know, they feel worried about the future. They've seen their balances. They've seen the values of their 401ks and their IRAs go down a lot over the past year. And they just kind of, it just gives them this feeling of slight uncertainty. They're like, oh, can I really afford to do this? Can I afford to do that? I'll have to dip into my savings if I want to make this big purchase or if I want to, you know, buy a new car and things like that. I think people are just starting to feel kind of stressed stressed about the future and stressed about where they are. We've seen a lot of inflation in essentials like households, groceries and utility bills. And it's just, it's a lot for people to be dealing with. I mean, on the plus side, we have seen relatively strong wage growth over the past year. You know, this isn't to say that the labor market isn't strong. I mean, it is. It remains strong. And if people who lose their jobs can, you know, by and large, there is still a lot of demand for labor. But there are just these cracks that are starting to appear. And I think people are starting to take notice and just get a little bit worried.
You know, as often as we hear about inflation, we also hear about the Federal Reserve and interest rates. So what role does the Fed raising rates play here?
Well, I think for consumers, I mean, on the one hand, the Fed raising rates, the reason that they're doing this is to try and get inflation under control. And that, of course, is positive for consumers, given the fact that inflation has been extremely high. But on the other hand, you know, if you're a consumer and you have any type of debt, then Fed rate increases potentially make things more painful. You know, if you're thinking about moving house, A, house prices are up, you know, sort of 30% since before the pandemic. And then B, the cost of getting a mortgage is a lot more expensive than it was a year and a half ago. So even a year ago. So it's just a difficult time for people who are thinking on taking on debt like that. You know, in some ways it's good for savers. Like Federal Reserve rate increases mean that they get a little bit more in their savings account. But I think overall, you know, seeing debt servicing costs go up, it does, you know, just give people pause when they're thinking about making that big purchase, like buying a new house, buying a new car, maybe getting some new appliances that they might have to buy on a payment plan or on credit. It just makes everything a bit more expensive.
And to come back to the jobs issue, you know, you mentioned that we've seen layoffs, but at the same time, there's been demand for workers and the labor market is still fairly tight. But Harriet, is there concern that the labor market can withstand these other economic factors going on around it?
That's the big question. And one of the economists that we spoke to in our story did say that the pressure that the economy is under from all these different forces, you know, like higher rates, the Fed, consumer spending, it's tough for, you know, the labor market to continue as strongly as it has been when employers are under pressure. You know, I think that the next thing that will come on under scrutiny is corporate profits. You know, companies have generally done very well in the pandemic because they've been able to raise prices pretty steadily. There's been extremely strong demand for, you know, a lot of things like goods and services and so on. We've definitely seen some of that demand cool for goods, and we're seeing some evidence that people are starting to pull back a little bit. But yeah, I think the one thing that speaks in favor of the labor market even now is that there is a shortage of workers, labor force participation, and companies are very keen to hold on to workers. It's very expensive for companies to rehire workers, and it's hard for them to find workers in this environment. So, yeah, the labor market is definitely going to be under a lot of pressure in the months ahead, and it will be something to watch closely.
But I guess the saving grace here is that hourly wages have remained strong and they've been climbing month over month.
Wages haven't kept pace with inflation for everybody. I mean, generally speaking, one of the positive trends that we've seen is that wages have tended to rise for those on the lowest end of the income spectrum because, you know, there's been such strong demand for services, you know, for things like line cooks, restaurant servers, a lot of frontline hospitality jobs. So those types of jobs have seen pretty strong pay increases, but the higher up you go on the scale, generally speaking, the less chunky wage increases you've been seeing. And of course, inflation has been extremely high, so people tend to sort of feel poorer no matter how well their paycheck is increasing. And regarding wages, although average hourly earnings have continued to go up, one thing that we've seen in the Labor Department's jobs report is that the number of hours worked per week has actually declined for 2 months. So although the hourly pay is up, the number of hours is down, and that is, you know, putting a bit of a dent in people's take-home pay packets.
You know, Harriet, whenever we talk about the economy, the elephant in the room is the R word, recession. Are economists you've spoken to concerned that the slowdown in this consumer engine could send the economy into recession?
Yes. We do a survey every quarter. The Wall Street Journal does a survey of economists. And in the most recent survey, which was in early January, economists said that they placed a 61% probability on there being a recession in the next year, which is about the same level that we saw in October. And that is very high by historical standards. We generally don't see that type of elevation in that probability outside of actual recession. So most economists do think that in the early part of this year that employers will start cutting jobs and we will see a slowdown. But economists do have some hope. You know, it's not inevitable that there will be a recession, and the Fed is trying to achieve what it calls a soft landing. And that's where it, you know, manages to bring down inflation, but without causing recession. And some people do think that this remains possible, that the Fed will be able to engineer a soft landing. And if that happens, we might see a little bit of, you know, uptick in the unemployment rate, but we wouldn't necessarily see a full-blown recession. And that, of course, would be a great outcome for everybody if the Fed manages to achieve it.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Harriet Torrey. Harriet, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.
The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast puts you close to the people breaking the news from around the world.
Over half the population are in acute need of food.
So and close to home.
The red hot housing market is starting to slow down.
Uncovering facts.
These investments call into question some of the federal government's activity.
And diving into markets.
A lot of money exiting the stock market, which is like...
Get it all twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News.